L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Nope. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Lorenzi, the pimps, the players, the hustlers, the podcasters, the people at Boston, and everybody else in between. Let's do this thing. Countdown to kickoff is on. We've got a Monday night doubleheader tonight with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to H-Town to take on the Houston Texans. Meanwhile, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, Allegiant Stadium, the place to be tonight. And tonight actually, tonight might be the coolest game it's ever been played, actually, at Allegiant Stadium from a Raiders perspective, although they did play the Chargers to get into the playoffs a couple of years ago. But it's been a little while since I think, like, Vegas fan and Raider fan can actually be a little bit of feel a little bit of excitement. Past years, the Raiders have sucked hard. We know this. There's higher expectations. I don't think people outside of Raider Nation think very much of the Raiders still, but I think they're a competent organization now with Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. You've got some veteran presence there. Jacoby Myers is a good player. Brock Bowers will be playing after all tonight. They've got some pieces on defense. You know, so the Raiders are in the mix, but they're in a really tough division, and the Chargers are really good. But it's going to be a fun game because normally visiting fans take the Raider Stadium over. How many fans do the Chargers have? Right? Like, the Chargers do have fans. It's a little bit overblown. Oh, nobody goes to their games. That's not true. Right? People go to their games, but it's not the same type of passionate, like, you know, let's travel like en masse. And there'll be some Charger fans there, but this is going to be an opportunity actually for Raider fan actually not to have the visiting fans come in and take the stadium over. Critical game for the standings. It's early, but the Chiefs are already 0-2. And they've already lost a division game to the Chargers. So if the Chargers win tonight and the Broncos lost yesterday, which screwed me over, big, big game tonight in the AFC West. We got Mo Khan in the house. How you doing, Mo?
I am well, Gabe. I have some vertigo going on, but we tough it out on like some teams in the NFL.
That does not sound fun, having vertigo. But don't feel bad, Mo. At least you didn't lose like 22 bets on the Vikings Falcons game.
I saw that.
It's going to happen, Cam and Mo. It's going to happen. Listen, we bet a ton of props, Mo, and we go all in on every game, right? And we're on for the primetime game. So last night, you know, all right, Jefferson touchdown, Robinson touchdown, this receptions, that receptions, this, that. I was on the Vikings. I kept on betting in-game overs. And a couple of times a year, you're going to get these primetime games that are just prop killers. Nobody scores. Nothing happens. Hell, we didn't get the first touchdown of the game last night until, like, the last drive of the game. Like, we nearly went the entire game without a single touchdown. I had, like, five guys to score a touchdown and touchdown props last night, Cam. None of them scored. And then after all that, it's Algier that scores, of all people. It's like, you got to be kidding me. They took Robinson off the field. Algier gets the last drive in the red zone. He gets the touchdown. Nobody was happy. Like, the only people who are happy last night are people that don't play props and that bet on Atlanta, right? But everybody plays props in the modern era right now, and everybody had a million props on both teams. And Bijan Robinson did well with his props, but he didn't even score a touchdown. But it was an ugly football game. The Minnesota Vikings offense was just putrid once again, and there's got to be a little bit of a concern now. They played eight quarters of football. Their offense has been terrible in seven of them. They host the Cincinnati Bengals this week. A Bengals team is going to be without Joe Burrow, it turns out, for basically the season. Joe Burrow needs surgery. It's going to be a minimum 3 months. So let's do the math. What's the point of him even coming back after surgery? But Browning can play, actually. And I'm not just saying this either. You know, Browning is a, I don't know if he's the best backup quarterback in the league, but I know it sounds crazy to say, oh, there's not that much of a drop-off, and there is a drop-off, but they're still going to be able to put points up on the board. Browning's not as good as Burrow, but put it this way. The best way of describing this is they won't have to change their offense. Like, it's not like, oh, God, like, listen, we can't do this, we can't do that. Now, like, let's, you know, a lot of times when you get a new quarterback, backup quarterback, they're like, all right, we're going to have to create, like, a new little 20, 25 play, like, package here. Playbook for him because we can't do this play. We can't do that play anymore. You can. He can throw the ball, this kid. Like, so, is he Joe Burrow? No. I almost look at it like the Argos with Chad Kelly. It's like, yeah, Chad Kelly's good, but, you know, their defense isn't very good. Quarterback's not really the problem there anyways. So, I don't know if, like, the Bengals, I kind of think the Bengals kind of still who they are. I don't think it's just going to be automatic. And, in fact, their offense with Browning is better than the Vikings' offense is right now with McCarthy. So, you know, that's just an intriguing game. But, Cam, your Seattle Seahawks stepped up with a big win yesterday because the Pittsburgh Steelers players don't know the rules of the National Football League. That was one of the craziest things that I've ever seen, where it was like the dude just standing there.
It was
and
awesome.
Even I'm like, I'm watching the game live, and I'm yelling out. I'm like, bro, that's a live ball. That's a live ball. And you can see the referees not saying anything. They're just standing there like, all right, if no one's going to figure this out. What a turning of events. But truth be told, I thought Seattle were going to beat them anyway. Seattle were the better team yesterday.
Yeah, it was a big bet for me, Morenci. And as we talked about, and Gabe talked about this a long time ago, people, it's not home of the 12th man anymore. Seattle wins on the road. That's what they do. East Coast, it's everything has flipped. They played great in that game. They were down 7, but they were doing their thing. Darnold made some throws, and Gabe, they were awesome. Like, I was really proud of the Seahawks because, and I'll tell you something, all you guys talking about Pittsburgh, that defense looks old, weathered. Like, they were making plays on these guys. I'd be very concerned if I was the Pittsburgh Steelers. And one thing we talked about, Gabe, Seattle's front four can get pressure, and a couple drives Rodgers got his ass hit. Like, his face mask was in the ground and they wanted more. Very proud, but you're right, huge mistakes by the Steelers. Great road win for Seattle.
Pittsburgh Steelers, Mo, excited a lot of people after their season opening win against the New York Jets. But okay, how impressive was that, right? Beating the New York Jets. And
yeah,
Week one, everybody sort of looks good and this and that, and it doesn't take long for teams to become who they are again, Mo, right?
Like, sure.
Like the Jets, like the Bears as well. You know what I mean? Like, oh, the Bears. Yeah, the Bears got lit up, okay? The Bears are not good. They're not going to be good. Ben Johnson ain't saving anything, and the Jets are just the Jets, all right? Aaron Glenn is just the latest in line to feel the pain of being the head coach of the New York Jets, Mo.
Yeah, you like the Jets. My God, I watched maybe 5 minutes of that game yesterday. I mean, I tuned in because I was going back and forth. There was 9 games in the 1 p.m.
I'm a Bills
window.
Fan, and it was hard to watch the game.
Yeah, yeah. And they had Jim Nasseromo, right? The number one team on the broadcast on top of that, right? But, like, when I was going back and forth, this – and look, I know it's early days under Aaron Glenn with the Jets, right? And he probably doesn't have his guys fully in yet with who he wants to build around and whatnot here.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mo – they already have good players. So that's what the weird thing is.
They do, but do they
fit? Say, oh, they need to build this and build that. What do you want? Like, I mean, seriously, like you've got Garrett Wilson, you've got Breece Hall, you've got Braden Allen, you've got a stacked defense. It's just bizarro world that it can't come together for them.
But does it fit the systems, right? Because they've gone through so many systems, these guys. Like Quinton Williams, who's supposedly supposed to be one of the better D tackles in the NFL, hasn't played up as great in the last couple of years. But this Jet team, watched them yesterday and what the Buffalo Bills did. Like, Joey Bosa looked like the 2016 version of Joey Bosa. And you heard Jim Nance say yesterday, this might be the steal of the offseason, Joey Bosa going to Buffalo.
I'm not too excited. He didn't look that way against Derrick Henry the week before, bro.
Right, and it's early days, right? But if you're Aaron Glenn, you have to stick to your principles for why you got hired as the Jets head coach. And once they buy into it, I think the Jets will be better. They're not going to win 10 games this year. I think they're more of a 6-8 win team here if it breaks their way. But you're playing the Buffalo Bills, who are locked and loaded right now at all three phases as we speak. You're not going to beat the Buffalo Bills. Whether it's your home game or road game, whatever it is, Berlin, or you play anywhere else in the world, this Bills team is playing with, not house playing, but they're playing with that confidence and arrogance that you want from a football team. And they and the Baltimore Ravens look like the two best teams in the AFC going towards week 3 and beyond.
Are they going to mess up the Dolphins and get McDaniel fired Thursday?
Said it last week. I think it does happen. They smash the Dolphins. I think McDaniels gets fired. Yeah.
If they humiliate them, Cam, I think if I was Buffalo, I thought about this. I almost wouldn't do it, not to get
just call your number. Hey, close game.
No, that's serious. I'm like, listen, they're in chaos right now.
Wow.
Let's just leave them in a state of chaos. Listen, if we beat them 45-0 or something, they're gonna fire them. Like if we really humiliate them, if we get up 20-3 or something, let's just sort of screw around a bit. But all kidding aside, I don't know. I mean, does it matter? Does it matter when he gets fired? Because he's getting fired. Is it even his fault? I don't think so. I mean, it is what it is. He shouldn't be, Look, man, Sean Foster got fired over the weekend. The coach of Virginia Tech, he got fired over the weekend. We're in a new world right now. 0-3 gets you fired. I can see it. Yeah, I think McDaniel could get fired if the Bills light him up and blow him up. But I was watching all the games yesterday, and I had money on the Dolphins, and they could have, should have won that game, man. They kind of did. That's what made it frustrating for me. They scored a late touchdown to take the lead. And Achane, nice run, nice little dump off. He bursted it for 30, 40 yards, whatever, down the sidelines. And I was like, oh, my God, they pulled it out. He stepped out of bounds. And what was crazy about it is he didn't need to step out of bounds. Nobody, it wasn't he was pushed up against the line, didn't have a choice. He didn't. He was blazing down the sideline. And for whatever reason, he just sort of took a little turn left when he didn't have to. He could have just went straight. And his left foot, it was he couldn't help himself. His left foot just went out of bounds for whatever reason. And no one even touched him. He went right down the sideline into the end zone. We all thought it was a touchdown. Ball comes back out to the 26, and it was just a disaster. And I also was on Denver yesterday, guys. And same thing. I celebrated the win Iron Eagle. Denver wins. Denver wins. Yeah. Denver wins. Bronco players all run on the field and everything. And then it's oh, wait, there's a flag. He touched the center. You got to be kidding me. This is what we're deciding a football game on. That was
Gabe. Brutal. We had 4-0 going into the Denver game for Super Contest. 5-0, and then that play to take it back to the missed field goal, the BS, this, and Lutz missed a kick, Bo Nix turnover in the – I was just like, how the hell is – what is happening here? That cost us a 5-0 a week, buddy. That would have been amazing. Yeah, that Denver game put me in orbit for sure.
Yeah, it's the second week in a row Denver have cost me in a contest. The week before, they won by 8 as 8.5-point favorites. Then I went right back to them. Very frustrating, but – it was one of those days, and, I had sort of a break-even day yesterday. I did really well on Saturday with the college. I did really well with the MLS on Saturday night that I went to and stuff. And then Sunday, the early games, I won a bit. I was up. I lost a few, and it really was just sort of one of these, whatever type of days.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I won again on the 4 o'clock games, and I went all in last night. This is where my J.J. McCarthy love backfired, right? I went all in. Vikings are going to win. I thought it would be a higher scoring game, and I kept chasing the end game over. None of the props hit. It was just a flat-out disaster, full-out disaster last night for me in that football game. But you've got to accept it. And like I said, these primetime games, a couple of times a year, they're just going to blow up and nothing's going to happen in them. It is what it is. Props to the Falcons. I told people the Falcons defense is going to be better this year, and it is. You'll see that it's for real. It will be better. So let's give a couple of picks for tonight's game. Tampa and Houston got a low total here, Mo, of 42.5. Tampa scored 23 points in week one. They gave up 20 to Atlanta. Really should have been 23 and gone to overtime. Koo missed the kick to send it to overtime. The Houston Texan offense really struggled on the road against Los Angeles. And a lot of people have their concerns, Mo, about the Houston Texans offense tonight and moving forward. You got a really low number, and that's the reason why. Early start time, 7 o'clock Eastern. What's your pick, Mo, Tampa or Houston?
I got Tampa in a close one. I think this you're bang on. Houston's O-line is decrepit right now. It's been decrepit for the last 2 years under C.J. Stroud. They can't move the ball as well as they once did. And they definitely missed Joe Mixon in that lineup with what they don't have running back. I know Nick Chubb is a solid plan B, but he's not a plan A anymore. I think for Tampa, you know, they when they played Atlanta last week, it was sort of like they played down to the Falcons, right? And they play up to the competition. And I think today, being a primetime game, Baker Mayfield being in his home state, I think he loves playing in the primetime element here. I'm not saying they're going to throw up 45 points on the Texans. I think it would be on the under for the total point line here. But I think they'll be very efficient with the running game. I think they'll find Mike Evans. But again, Mike Evans will be tag teaming with Stingley all game long and how that matchup will be in his own play. But that Tampa defense, they've been underachieving the last few weeks here, guys, going from last year to this week one here. I think they step up to the plate and they make things very difficult for the Texans and the offense tonight.
Cam, nobody seems to like the Texans tonight. They're 2.5-point favorites in this game. What are you doing? Who are you taking?
I do. I don't love this game. Mo's right. Hey, it could go either way, Gabe. I don't know if it's going under or over. But I'll tell you one thing. Watching that Rams game in the first week against Houston, Houston's defense is phenomenal. And that's one thing. I think they can get it done and play a field position game. That is a -2.5. People are looking to take Tampa as the pooch. But I like Houston tonight, Gabe. I don't know about the total, but I think the Houston Texans win this game by like between 4 and 7 points. I'm going to ride them tonight. I think they get it done, and the defense steps up against Baker Mayfield and the Bucs.
Man, I hate betting under, so I can't bet the under. I don't know if I could take the over either, though. I mean, it's 42.5 only.
The thing is, like, this game's tough.
2017 kind of feels like the type of game it is. Mm-hmm. In that range, 2014, 17, 13. I will tease this game to the under, but I'm not going to play the under 42.5. Even Tampa, like we talk about some of these teams like Atlanta with all the skill that they have, it doesn't matter, man. Like Arthur Smith was there before and we blamed him because they were so conservative. It's not Arthur Smith anymore. And they're the same. They, you know what I mean? They don't want to throw the football. They don't like it. They, you know, the coach, Atlanta's coach wants to run the ball and it takes the air out of the ball. And quite frankly, Tampa too. You think of Tampa, of Baker Mayfield and Evans and normally Godwin, but now Ibuka, et cetera. That, oh, this team can throw the ball, and they can, but they play good defense. They actually play a lot of smash-mouth ball themselves, and they like the prolonged drives. That division isn't as, like, offensive-minded as it used to be, I'll tell you that much. But I'm worried about this game because Houston, this is a must-win for Houston. You can't start 0-2. You're on your home field. Everybody loves Tampa in this game. It's a tough spot, but I do lean Tampa as well. I like Tampa on a teaser, guys. I'm going to take the easier way out tonight. Tampa +9.5, under 49.5. Raiders and Chargers. This is a good one. We talk about the scenarios here. The winner's going to be 2-0 and in first place. Either team's going to be very, very happy if they're 2-0 after tonight. But if you're the Chargers, you've already beaten the Chiefs. This would be your second division win. The Raiders win was against the Patriots, so it wasn't a division win. Division wins are paramount and critical. Big, big game tonight. There was a lot of question marks around Brock Bowers, whether Brock was going to be able to suit up and go. Brock has been cleared to play. That makes a big difference for the Raiders, even if he isn't 100%. Mo, Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. The total is 46.5 in this game. What do you think about this one?
Give me the Chargers. They're going to cover it. I just think that the Raiders still lack the quality on offense here, right? Because you look at that Charger defense, they match up very well with that Raider O-line. And that O-line for Vegas is not that great, guys. And if they cannot get Jenty going with the ball here and get him more touches, more yards per carry, it's going to be a long day for this Raider offense here. I think the Raider defense will be tough and tenacious. But I just think that with the way Harbaugh has built this team up, being run, and being patient with the pass, it just sets up well for them. And again, you mentioned it before, Gabe. You beat the Chiefs week one in Sao Paulo. You beat the Raiders now. If you beat the Broncos at home next week, That's three divisional home, three division wins you have already through six games. Now you play in your own division here. So it sets up well for the Chargers to be that team to beat in the AFC West if they get this win today and next week and be 3-0 in the division.
What's your pick, Cam? Raiders plus 3.5 or Chargers minus 3.5?
The odds makers are doing us no favors with these games tonight. They're tough. Very good numbers on both sides, but I will think the Raiders hang. And Gabe, I think that hook can be important. I think Bowers is, I know he's banged up, but I think he'll be significant in this game. One thing too, Max Crosby in that pass rush, I think we can get to Herbert, despite Herbert being a little more elusive than people think, and he will use his legs more. I think the Raiders hang in this game. I like Geno Smith in this team. I think they're going to score some points in this game. I think the Chargers, if they win by three. Give me the silver and black attack plus 3.5.
The Raiders generally do play well against the Chargers historically. But this is, it's a new team now, new coaches, new players. So it's hard to hang your hat on anything in the past. Thing is, this is a type of game that the Chargers would either lose or be like, you know what I mean? Would sort of let them off the hook. But I kind of get the feeling that the Chargers are good this year. Right, that they are like the D, like Mo said, that the Chargers defense is serious. People aren't going to talk about him much, but Jesse Minter was Michigan's defensive coordinator. This guy's good, like he's really good. You saw what he did to the Chiefs in week one and how he can, you know, he really confused Mahomes. And Andy Reid and the Chiefs don't get sort of out coached often, but they did. And he's going to have a game plan ready for the Raiders tonight, but I think the Raiders are good. Like, I think the Raiders are good enough to sort of hang around. I got to believe, like Mo said, the Chargers are further ahead in the development here. There's no love lost either between Carroll and Harbaugh either. They don't like each other.
No. They're frenemies.
Yeah, exactly. They're passive jokes and stuff like that.
Yes.
Asked Pete Carroll, hey, you and Harbaugh have had a little history in the past. He goes, I don't know, we're fine. We respect each other. And Carroll goes, you know, I sent him a Christmas card a couple of years in a row, but he never returned it. He never sent it.
By the way, Gabe, I was going to say, underlying story in this matchup, right? You know Minter and Harbaugh have that Michigan connection, right? Who's the OC for the Raiders? Chip Kelly, right? He was the OC for Ohio State. You know they're going to be watching that Ohio State film against Michigan. Both coaches just kind of get a feel of the principles that they're going to probably lay out in tonight's game here. So I wouldn't be surprised if he saw some Ohio State elements from Chip Kelly and, of course, the Michigan principles that they want to run with against this Raider defense tonight, this offense tonight for the Raiders.
Will they get Ashton Jeanty going is the question, Bo. He only had 38 rushing yards in week one. His prop is 66.5 tonight. Do you think he gets going tonight?
I think he does, but he'll probably end up somewhere between 70 to 80 yards total in rushing.
That'll go over the number.
That's so well.
You know, it's 66.5. I'm not sure he does, to be honest. I think he's better tonight, but is he really going to rush for that many? He'd have to pop a big one for him to get there.
And I think he will. I think he will get a pop of a maybe 20-yard rush because he only had, I think, a 3.5 average last week against the Patriots, right? So I think he does get that.
And it was kind of a tougher spot. You know, you're on grass. You're in New England. It wasn't great. In the rain, first game. Little different. Your first home game, indoors, fast track, and at home as well, you know they're going to want to get him going early, right? So, like, if he could pop, like, a big, you know, on one of his first carries, he pops a big run and really gets the crowd going and gets him, like, his confidence going. Because 38 yards, that's not what you took to him for in the first round for.
No. Yeah, I mean, sixth overall, no.
Yeah, sixth overall. That's not, like, that's not production there, bro. Like, you know, we could have – this is why – a lot of teams, man, they don't care how good you are as a running back. They're like, good for you. We're not drafting you, right? Like, seriously. Like, you know, when you're a star running back, you really only have a couple of teams in the first round that'll, like, do it. Most teams figure we can get a good running back. You know, it doesn't matter. We can get a running back in the third or fourth round. It'll be as good as the guy in the first. Like, we'll get – he might not be as good, but the production will be the same, if you know what I mean. Like, it's like, whatever, dude. We're going to run the ball. We'll get this, and we don't have to trade up. But we'll see if Jeanty – I like Jeanty. I didn't really like the pick because, you know, one thing, it's I warn people. I'm not always right about draft stuff, but I warn people before the draft. I said Jeanty is not Barkley, guys. He's not like a generational, like, NFL talent. He was a really good player in the Mountain West. Like, you know, he's not a generational, like, oh, my God, type of back. He's very good. You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's going to be a bust, but I wouldn't have taken him that high personally. All right, so let's talk some college football as things are getting real collegiately already right now, Mo. Texas A&M wins against a ranked team on the road for the first time in 11 years with a dramatic comeback. Wild football game, and Notre Dame really right now are behind the eight ball. This is one cool bet that I've already won, guys, and the benefit when you take the under 10.5 of these powerhouse teams in college football. I said Notre Dame will lose two games this year, and I didn't think they were going to lose their first two games like this, but we've already won the bet of under 10.5. And I was looking because I got killed last night in the Minnesota game, and it was so bad, Cam, I didn't look at my account after the game last night.
Oh, I hate that. That's what you know. No, you're like cringing. It's like, yeah.
No, it was Sunday night. I didn't want to depress myself. I was like, yeah. I know it's bad. I'm just closing my computer.
Good night.
And, I'm closing my computer.
Nope.
And I'm going to wake up in the morning, and I'll deal with it. And I, you know, reality check. And I really did, Cam. I threw my phone against the wall. Not hard, but I was like, yeah, my phone. I threw it in a pile of clothes in the corner. I flipped the screen shut. And I watched Batman on TV, the nice. 60s TV show, not the movie.
Adam West.
Oh, I love the Ward. 60s Batman. Boom. Man, it's fantastic.
Boom. I watched an episode about the Riddler to try to get my mind off of football. Yeah. And then this morning, though, I opened up my account, and I'm like,
should have watched more Batman.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, boy.
Classic.
And then I thought, though, I'm like, hey, Notre Dame lost again. I was like, yeah, Notre Dame lost again. I bet under 10.5, and I was hoping they didn't pay me already because I was like, oh, that'll be more money I'm getting back. I scroll, I look, I'm like, oh, man, they paid me pretty quickly for that. They paid me on Saturday. I had so many bets, I didn't even notice they paid me. But so, yeah, we hit the Notre Dame under, but Notre Dame are now in a little bit of a trouble for real. You can lose two games and get into the playoffs. Losing three, we haven't seen a team with three losses yet. And if you're Notre Dame, you don't even have a conference like championship or like game to hang your hat on. They have really put themselves in a tough situation. They're going to have to run the table. They're just point blank. Like Notre Dame, they're going to have to win every game for the rest of the year and hope for the best moving forward, Mo.
Yeah, you know, the schedule isn't so bad, guys. You get Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, NC State, USC, Boston College, Pittsburgh, Syracuse, Stanford, right? Really, NC State might be the tough one. Boise will give them a challenge.
They're Syracuse, not as USC will beat them, unless there's a weather factor.
But here's the thing, though, Gabe. Which USC team will show up, right? We don't know. Like, this is a USC team under Lincoln Riley that's underachieved. So, really, are they going to play up to this game, which could very well be the last ever game between these two schools?
I told people before the year started, Mo, USC season win total over 8.5. And I also said that USC, they're going to be in the mix, Mo. You're going to see at the end of the year, USC, you're going to be playing in some big time games for like playoff implications. They just need to like handle their business.
Yeah. But I just, again, for USC, it's a win now for Lincoln Riley, right? He has to maintain himself because that referendum's on him right now. Is he the right coach for SC or not? But I think for ND, you lost to two top 10 teams right now. But now you got to run the table. The only hiccup I can see maybe is at the end of the year when they go to Pitt or when they play Syracuse. Those two games might be the tough ones for them because those can be trap games for them as we speak. But I think they can run the table, guys, and still be in that conversation for a low seed in the playoffs going towards December.
We'll find out about USC for real in 2 weeks. The next, actually, you know what? It's pretty crazy if you look at USC's schedule. Dear God. So they escaped the Purdue weather delay. And that was one thing that we were smart about, at least, because, I mean, okay, I like the over, the Purdue game and USC, but there was a 2.5-hour weather delay. And I cashed the bet out, and I told people, weather delays kill overs.
Yep.
They just do. Like, it slows the game down. The players don't have the same type of energy as they did before. And this one stayed under after. So that was one smart thing that I did. They made it 33-7. It was 33-17 final for the Trojans. But
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
USC, they host Michigan State this week. They'll drill Michigan State. Then it gets real for them. They go to Illinois. So we're going to find out how good Illinois are, how good USC is. This is kind of a classic offense versus defense type of matchup, too.
My dark horse pick in the Big Ten this year is Illinois.
Yeah, so that's what a lot of people's, Mo. Yeah. So this is like USC's opportunity to, like, take that spot and suddenly be in the mix. And then after the USC-Illinois game, it's Michigan at USC on October the 11th. They do get a bye week after the Illinois game. So then they would play Michigan in L.A., which could potentially also just be a massive game. And, oh, yeah, after that, they go to South Bend. So this is it, USC. They get Michigan State, and then there's a three-game run. USC at Illinois, Michigan at USC, USC at Notre Dame. If they can go 2-1 through that, they're still, like, way in the mix. And then things, you know, sort of soften up for them. But then at the end of the year, they play against the Ducks in the second game, second to last game of the season, and they end up with UCLA. And Mo, Deshaun Foster, listen, it had to happen. They lost to New Mexico. They got blown out by 25 points. That was the first win for the New Mexico Lobos against a Power 5 conference team since 2008. I feel bad for Foster. He was put in a position they just couldn't, like, succeed, right? And it's almost like UCLA, they're going to have to admit they made a massive mistake. And they really should, like, leave the Big Ten, guys. Like, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. Like, they should file paperwork and say, listen, how long, like a year or two, whatever, like, yeah, we're not going to leave next year and screw every, like, your schedule up, but, like, we're going to file paperwork. This isn't working for us. We want to go back to California. They really should, Mo.
It's, you know, when they hired Foster, if you recall, Chip Kelly had left UCLA for Ohio State. So they were in a bind to get Foster.
Well, they ran him out of town. They hated Chip Kelly, but yeah, he left. But they ran him out of town, yeah.
Essentially, and they hired Foster as like a plan C in their search. And so they brought back the hometown guy or the guy who was a college hero back in 04, 05, and 06. And they thought he was the right guy. You know, he had a couple of recruits come in. But the thing with UCLA, you're absolutely right, Gabe, right? When you left
– money, bro. That's their problem, too. Their football program doesn't have any money. That's why they hired Foster. They couldn't afford, like, a big coach.
No, and UCLA, by football standards of economics, is a poor team in a Power 4 conference, right? Even though they're in LA, they don't have funds for football. And for them to go to the Big Ten was a complete travesty for what they are built on reputation-wise. And they're lost, Gabe. They're a lost program right now. There was probably family and friends in that loss on Friday night against New Mexico, right? I mean, that's how the fans are with this program. There's plenty of apathy right now. And I think moving forward here, this job is not desirable. Even though you're in LA, you cannot out-recruit USC. Oregon's coming in there now recruiting better than UCLA and even USC in Southern California. So what is your plan A and B and C if you're UCLA? And quite frankly, if you're the Bruins right now, I just don't know what they can do, Gabe, because you went in for the money, and now you're tied up with the Big Ten forever until who knows when.
I've got the solution for them, guys. Two words. John Gruden.
He would take the exactly. UCLA job.
He'd take anything.
He'd be perfect. He'd be perfect for them. He's a really good coach. He's high profile. He would be able to recruit just because of his personality. And he's not that old. So it's not like we're bringing a Belichick or something like that. And as I was saying, UCLA, they're not poor UCLA in a sense. It's UCLA. But
by football standards, they are, though.
Their athletic department is poor. Their school isn't poor. But their football program is. Their basket, the main boosters and NIL people that support UCLA, it's a basketball school. Right? Like, the money goes, like, Mick Cronin makes a lot of money. They recruit. They just paid the kid, what was the kid's name? I'm in football mode. What's the kid's name? Dent from New Mexico. They just paid him like $3 million a year. Like, UCLA's basketball program is stacked with like big time NIL transfers and money. And like, they have a puncher's chance, the basketball team. They spend money. They'd be better off on the West Coast still, but all the money goes into the basketball program. The football program, all right, they came up with a couple of million for the quarterback this year, but what good is that if your offensive line sucks and you don't have any wide receivers and you don't have any running backs and your defense? Like, yeah, it's, I was reading, guys, UCLA, their football department is minus $200 million in the hole.
They're in serious trouble, UCLA.
Like, they don't have athletics. Money. They don't have – like, the school doesn't have money. They don't have NIL money. This is another thing, too, and I tweeted this during the game. They shouldn't play in the Rose Bowl. This is another thing. Like, and it's just cheapness. Like, think about it, Cam. They're playing in the Rose Bowl. They don't – it's not their stadium, bro.
Exactly.
Like, UCLA don't own the Rose Bowl. Like, Pasadena, the city of Pasadena owns the Rose Bowl. It's like – so it's like, oh, we don't have to build our own stadium. Yeah, you also have no fans that go. Like, Pasadena is nowhere near the campus. Yeah. It's closer to USC, like, for love of God. Like, it's, like, outside of downtown Pasadena. It's not that far from, like, Dodger Stadium and a downtown core. And it's ridiculous. Like, and the USC, the UCLA kids don't care enough. They're not going to go all the way out there. Like, I swear to God, man, I posted this during the game. And then Matt Leinart posted the same thing like an hour later. He said they need to build like a 40,000 seat stadium on campus. And you know what I mean? The kids would go. And like, you're playing in 110,000 empty stadium, seat stadium. And the other part is too, the kids get fired up on the other teams, man, to play in the Rose Bowl. Right? Like, it's not, you know, the guys in the Big Ten don't care so much, but like the kids on New Mexico. They're not going to play in the Rose Bowl. They're never playing in a Rose Bowl game. Like, this is their opportunity to say they played in the Rose Bowl. And then they get all fired up, and you're playing against a UCLA team that have, like, 62 fans in the stands. Right? It's like, what a disaster. It should never have gone this far. I mean, Terry Donahue, Troy Aikman. I mean, man, like, UCLA. Yeah, UCLA have a tradition, man. They used to be good. Like, this is just an embarrassment for them right now. But how did you do Saturday with the college, Cam?
Not bad, Gabe. You had some great picks there. I know we were on Purdue in that game late. And one game that really turned out well, and we were kind of worried about it, it's just one of these things, these rivalry games. And you talk about history repeating itself. And every time, it doesn't matter, West Virginia, and everyone's talking about Pitt, and West Virginia gets it done outright at 7.5-point dogs in that game. The late games went pretty good, Gabe. You know, we were both on Clemson, got the early bet wrong, the live bet right. And that Tennessee-Georgia game was off the chain. I think you liked the over in that game, and there was no defense. That was a fantastic football game between the Vols and Bulldogs.
Yeah, that game was all like the Dallas Cowboy, the New York Giant game, actually, which was just crazy.
It was awesome.
It was like, oh, this team's going to win. No, no, the other team just scored. Oh,
see
wait,
that
no,
neighbor's
no,
catch,
team.
Too? That guy's unreal. Like, no, this guy's so damn good. It's like, I just can't believe the Giants did win that. Like, how's the defense in the last couple minutes of that game? That was,
and they have a better defense. That's the thing, right? And they still lost that game. Anyway.
Weird.
Yeah, you know what, though? If you're the Giants, it's almost good. Like, you played well, you were right there, you lost. You're not making the playoffs anyways this year type of deal. I know, you know what I mean? You almost want to get a better draft pick again, but I'm sure, like, Dable's not thinking that way.
No, right now,
he wants to win a football game, but they're going to be in a high-profile football game on Sunday night, guys. They host the Kansas City Chiefs Sunday night football. So both teams are 0-2, and it's not going to be fun for the loser. Like, even though, like, the expectations aren't high for the Giants, it's still New York, and 0-3 is 0-3. The Chiefs were, like, 5.5-point favorites. It's gone up to 6. What do you think, Mo, on that one? Kansas City Chiefs, 6-point favorites, Sunday night football against the Giants.
I'm not buying that spread. I think it's going to be less than that. I think the Giants plus 6 here because, look, the Giants have been playing good football. Their defense has been better than what they're expected, right, except for the last 4 minutes of that game against the Cowboys. But that's the biggest problem right now. The Chiefs' O-line is inferior. So if that front four for the Giants can get to Mahomes, get him off his access point, that could be the reason why the Giants have a puncher's chance going towards the fourth quarter to win that football game. And also, if Russ plays like he did in the fourth quarter for 4 full quarters against the Chiefs, this game's going to be a lot more close than expected here, guys. And I think the Giants will make it very competitive with them having their home opener on primetime football.
What do you think, Cam?
Yeah, they got, if they protect Wilson, the Giants are going to be in this game big time. The question is the Chiefs' defensive line going to put pressure on Russ? And Russ is still, Gabe, you see him. Like, he can tiptoe a little bit. He's not that burner he used to be, but he can run for first downs, extend plays, and his deep ball looked absolutely fantastic. I'm leaning Giants right now, but it's hard. The Chiefs are going to be a bad move, but they're just not the same old Chiefs. You watch this team play, drops, mistakes, like, they're going to be angry, but it might not be enough. Right now, leaning with the dog.
The Chiefs defense is still elite. The offense is
not
mediocre, less than average type of deal, which it could be a problem for them. You know, it sounds crazy, but this is why, like, sort of like we were talking earlier about the New York Jets on paper having better players than most teams. You could argue right now that New York Giants have better players than the Kansas City Chiefs do, right? Like, the New York Giants, their defensive line is stacked. Malik Nabers is better than anyone the Kansas City Chiefs have right now at wide receiver, right? Like, the Chiefs offense is just lost right now. They don't have enough talent. If the Giants offense could put points up on the board, they could put Kansas City in a tough spot where Mahomes could try to Mahomes it out and do his thing and stuff, but it would be hard for them to win by six. I like the Giants a lot, plus the points. And the Monday nighter, guys, we got a good one, Mo. Detroit Lions at Baltimore. And the odds makers are giving the Ravens a lot of respect here. The Ravens are 6-point favorites in the game.
Yeah, it's a bit high. That's a bit rich for my liking. I think with this being what it is right now for Detroit, you know, they had a terrible road game. And I think what we saw Sunday was a more accurate description of who they are going into the season. I think they'll be much better. That 5.5, I think it'll be a lot competitive. I think Detroit and the points in this situation right now. One thing to look out for is Baltimore's secondary, guys. I mean, he played the Browns yesterday, not much of a challenge, but again, they've been giving up a lot of big plays here. And I think Jared Goff, if he gets that line protection, could have a field day against Baltimore's secondary next Monday night.
Should be a track meet in this game. Ravens minus 6. Total's 51.5, actually, only.
Take it.
So it's doable. It's doable. Yeah, you figure there would be points put up on the board here. Listen, we just saw Detroit unleash. So the games of the week, the Monday nighters, really good. Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. As we stay to the Ravens, 6-point favorites, total 51.5. The Sunday nighter, Kansas City at MetLife Stadium. Giants get 6, total 44.5. We're going to have a desperate Chicago Bear team. The Bears are actually 1.5 home point favorites against the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Cowboys will beat them.
I like the Cowboys too, Gabe, but yeah. I'm telling you, there's problems with the Bears. And hey, that wasn't just an absolute drubbing. The Bears got major issues. We talked about Caleb Williams.
They're going to have to fire their coach. Oh, yeah, wait, they already did that.
It's the coach. No, you're giving up 52 to the Lions.
And no, that defense, what difference does it make ever?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, what? Matt Eberflus, Ben Johnson, Nagy, whatever. Like,
exactly. Keep Ebra. No, you do. You just keep some stooge on the lowest payroll possible because it's going to be the exact same damn thing when it's over. You never get better. It doesn't matter.
The Bears. Can you imagine, Mo, if they're this bad again and they're going to be like, you got to take a quarterback? Carson Wentz.
What's been the knock on the Bears, though, right? History has shown that they've always been a cheap organization. Remember the Dan Quinn story that he flew coach, not private plane, for his interview a couple years ago? And then they debunked that theory by spending on Ben Johnson, right? But the thing is, the roster construction of this team has been not that great, guys. They invested in the O-line, and they got bullied by the Lions yesterday, who were banked up themselves. So I think for the Bears, this is a must-win 100% for them, guys, because if they lose this game, which will be the prime 4 p.m. window game for Fox, man, that's going to really put a lot of naysayers towards Caleb Williams, whether or not he is a franchise quarterback for this franchise moving forward.
It's not just him. They were talking about having a defense, guys, and that's the problem. Like, not just are they on the field, like, this vaunted Bears defense is gone. Like, teams are carving them up like Swiss cheese. Like, McCarthy in the fourth quarter, the Lions did anything they wanted in that game, and this was supposed to be a strength of their team. It's flawed. The Bears have a lot of flaws.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio.
Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
And it's all they really do. And like they lose this game, their season's done. Let's just call it off what it is. It's going to be just a long year. They're going to be 0-3, and the same questions are going to be coming up. But another intriguing game this week, if you look at the NFC West, San Francisco are 2-0, Arizona are 2-0, the LA Rams are 2-0. You got the Rams at the Eagles, which leads me into Arizona at San Francisco.
That's my pick, guys.
Yeah.
Arizona?
So what do you think of this one? Like the winner's going to be 3-0 and have another big division win under their belt. The Rams could potentially lose against the Eagles. It's a big game, Mo, early season game, Cardinals and Rams.
If you look at Kyler Murray in San Fran, he's done fairly well. I mean, I believe they won the game last year in San Fran, albeit against some depleted Niner defense here. But
Arizona guys are a better road team than they are home team.
Like 100% they are.
They're Kyler like Murray.
Yes. Kyler Murray is 26-12-2 in his career against the spread on the road. It's wild. Like they go on the road and win and they lose at home. That's what Arizona do, but go almost. Sorry.
And I'm just thinking that for Arizona, right? I mean, I know they let Carolina hang around yesterday and the last minute half was quite stressful for those who had that game going for them. But I just think in this game on next Sunday for Arizona, if they can establish running game, if Connor could be what he was yesterday, that makes a big difference because Salah has really improve the defense and what he wants to run from his principles, but if they get running game going for Arizona, it just opens up the pass for Kyler Murray to use his arm and his legs to improvise and find the Harrisons and find McBride as well. So I think that's going to be key for them. If they do win this game, it'll be because of James Conner in the ground game on why Arizona could be 3-0.
I'm going to say the Rams beat the Eagles too, guys.
Love the Rams this week, Marenzi. Have already
the Rams are getting, they're getting 3.5 in the game. Thing with the Eagles, I'm not really like you look at the Eagles, they're like a glorified rugby team almost. Like, once again, like the passing attack is non-existent. It's Saquon Barkley. Like, if Saquon Barkley wasn't on the Eagles, we're talking about a 9-8 football team, right? Or an 8-9 football team. Like, I really believe this. And the Rams have revenge here. The Rams are clicking more right now offensively, I think, than Philadelphia, and they're getting points. So, you're going to be on the Rams, Cam?
Big time. Already bet it. I think the Rams can win this game outright. To Mo's point, I lean Arizona in that game right now. And the thing about it is, I watched that San Francisco-New Orleans game too. The Saints did a lot of things in that to that 49ers team. 49ers are banged up, but you said it too, Marenzi. I love Arizona when they go on the road in these games. It's basically a pick 'em. Give me the Rams and give me the Cardinals. Cheap, cheap.
What do you think of the Rams and Eagles game, Mo?
I'm holding until Wednesday when the injury report comes out, guys. I just want to see for Jared Verse how healthy he is because he is a linchpin for that defense, for this Rams defense here. And remember, this is their second consecutive East Coast game. They were in Tennessee yesterday. I believe they're going to stay out east, right, for this Philadelphia game coming up for them. But, you know, that Ram offense was a little bit worrisome because they couldn't get going against Tennessee. I know Tennessee's very plucky on defense here, but they couldn't get going until the fourth quarter. And I look at that Eagles defense, that front four. The reason why Philadelphia's been winning, as you made the point before, Cam, the running game and that front four. They have dominated so far in the first two games here. If they get that domination against Matthew Stafford, it's going to be a lot trickier. So I want to hold off until Wednesday when I see the reports for both teams coming into this Sunday game.
Some good games this Sunday in the National Football League. As it's early, but we've got some divisional tilts and some situations that start to matter. College football games in a week this week. We've got some real good ones as well. Texas Tech are living up to the hype so far, albeit early. Massive game. Massive game. Big 12 this week. Texas Tech at Utah. The Texas Tech Red Raiders are getting 3.5 points in that football game. The total is 57.5. Hard not to like the over of that game.
Are you sure, Gabe? Because remember, this is a 10 a.m. local kickoff time.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm telling you, Gabe, football players.
That is early, though. You're right, Mo. Yeah. For 10, I know. It's 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, noon.
Yeah, it's the big noon kickoff main event, right? So that 10 a.m. kickoff can really, you know, that over is a little high when you're playing at 10 a.m. than, say, 10 p.m. If this was the case to be.
Yeah, I thought that once, Mo, during the 24-hour college basketball marathon that they do to start the season.
Yeah.
There was kids playing at 6 in the morning. And I said, there's no way in hell this game is going over. They're playing at 6 in the morning. They're going to miss a bunch of shots. I think they combined for like 200 points in a game.
Yeah, hit everything.
It was like, yeah, I swear to God, Mo, it was like 30-30, 6 minutes into the game. And they're like, oh, both teams are like 6 for 6 from three, Chuck. I'm like, yeah, there goes my 6 in the morning theory. I know what you mean, Mo. Sort of like the delays kill totals, but I hear what you're saying. 57.5 is not very high for a Texas Tech game. But that, man, that has big implications. That's a really good one. How about this one, guys? Auburn and Oklahoma.
Wicked game.
And don't forget, Auburn's quarterback, Jackson Arnold, got ran out of town in Norman.
Yep.
They had no patience with him. Oh, you got to go. Well, you know what I mean? And now he looks great with the Auburn Tigers. Oklahoma are 6.5-point favorites in this game. That's at 3:30 Eastern on ABC. The total is 48.5. Michigan at Nebraska. Michigan, 2.5-point road favorites in this football game. Total 45.5 in a massive Big Ten tilt. Michigan already slipped up and lost to an SEC team, so it didn't hurt them in the Big Ten, but they've got to handle their business in this game. And Matt Rhule looking for a big time signature win. They'd like nothing better to get their season rolling here and beat the Michigan Wolverines. Purdue and Notre Dame. Notre Dame needs to bounce back off their loss. Finally, Missouri, guys, my Missouri Tigers as well. I took the win total Missouri over 6.5 because I thought they had a cupcake schedule. This is one of the few tough games that they play. But the odds makers, Mo and Cam, 13.5 points. Missouri, Mo, are 13.5-point favorites over the Gamecocks.
That's too rich for me. I think Shane Beamer is going to have some surprises out there, especially with what happened to him last week against Vandy, right? Pavia came in there and owned them. So I think South Carolina is going to do something special with the special teams, surprise punt, fake punt, kickoff, onside, whatever it is. I don't think Missouri's going to hit that point line, guys, of 13.5. Give me South Carolina the points.
Tulane, Mississippi's underrated too, guys. Both undefeated. That's a good game. I think
that Missouri will survive this game. But, yeah, 14's a little ambitious. Missouri sort of let you hang around a bit too. They're really good though, Missouri. Like, it was insane. Their win total was 6.5. Thing with Missouri, they don't go on the road until October the 18th, which sounds insane, but like they really don't. Like they don't. They play at home all the time, and then when they go on the road, they only really have a few tricky games actually, and all their tough games are at home. So, I said it before the year started, guys. Missouri were +700 to make the playoffs. I think they can still. They're going to be in the mix. Florida and Miami. The Miami Hurricanes are living up to the hype this year. So, yeah, the Florida Gators.
That was now, brutal.
I don't want to talk about it, guys.
What a schedule for the Florida Gators. So, Gators lose. They hang around. They didn't get blown out, but they lose the game 20-10 on Saturday night to LSU. And, of course, they lost to South Florida. Miami absolutely drilled South Florida. Miami are 7.5-point favorites in this game. Mo, what's your take as a Gator fan?
Oh, Miami's going to smash them. I just think Florida will make it competitive for about 2-3 quarters. Then Billy Napier will have a Billy Napier moment of out-coaching himself and give the game to Miami. I think Lagway will have a better response because he was banged up in the offseason. And some speculate that he maybe should have – maybe it was a shoulder injury that he had that might have needed an operation, which he didn't get. He only started throwing like two weeks prior to the first game of the season against Long Island. And I think in that game against LSU, that defense played very well, guys. I think Florida's defense will keep it close enough, but I worry about this offense under Bill Napier, who has been very stubborn to diversify the palette on this offense here with who he has as a playmaker or two along the way. But I think Miami, with the momentum they've built up here, number 4 team in the nation at home, primetime, I think they do cover that point spread.
Mo Khan kicking it with us. Cam Stewart in the house. We've got Tulane. Tulane and Mississippi. Interesting contest. Is the Tulane Green Wave 3-0 after beating the Duke Blue Devils in a close one. Give them credit. I actually thought Duke were going to pull it out. It was a close game. It could have went either way. But give Tulane credit for racking up another W. Like I said, we got a fun college. Fun football is great, but it's cool to see already right now we're getting these some of these big conference tilts right now. Tulane and Mississippi, not one of them, but some big conference tilts like Illinois and Indiana as well. That's the Saturday night NBC game. Listen, Indiana made the playoffs last year. And like you said, Mo, a lot of people thought that Illinois were this year's Indiana, right? That, yeah, Illinois are going to be that other sort of outlier Big Ten team that's going to make the playoffs. If they're going to do it, they need to win this game. Indiana are 4-point favorites. Who do you like?
Give me Illinois. Like I told you before, guys, back when we had this chit-chat back in August, this Illinois team, I think, returned to think like 90% of the starters from last year to this year's squad. I think they have less question marks going in. I think Bielema is going to establish that running game and really run it like 30 times, 40 times this game here and beat ball control in this matchup here. So give me Illinois to win this game.
Cam, what do you think about Illinois and Indiana?
Oh, God, that's a tough one. I've leaned Indiana right now, Gabe, but you know what? I got to give you guys credit with Illinois. Like, I remember that week I was on them with Duke and just turnovers in that game. They forced turnovers. Very, very mean defense. Well-coached team. That's a tough game. I lean Indiana, but this one could go either way. But, Mo, I disagree. Lagway had 5 picks in that game. I think Florida could be a surprise pooch this week against red-hot Miami. It's one of those weird games where everyone's going to be on Miami, and I might be chomping with the Gators, Morenci.
Man, Miami, everybody, we can talk about Mario Cristobal all we want.
L-E-D-E-N-E-Z. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Yeah. Just stay out of the way, coach, and let the kids handle it. They're doing fine.
Out of the way, coach.
But, you know, it's true. Like, they're so good, Mo, like that. People, you know, the problem with Miami, they're going to find themselves in a really big game later in the year, and it's going to be a tie game with 5 minutes left, and that's where they get in trouble, right? That's where they get in trouble. But the way they're playing now, if they could just keep killing people, the crystal ball, you know, negative factor gets taken out of the equation.
Here's the thing, though, right? Whoever loses this game, Cristobal or Napier, who feels more demoralized come Sunday morning?
Napier's going to get close to getting fired soon.
Sure.
And you're right, Cristobal, if Miami lose, they're just going to be like, Cristobal can't win big games. Like, yeah, they're going to blame him. Yeah.
Guys, they have 5 picks in that game, and they almost covered. They're 7.5-point dogs, Florida, and they literally, like, they were there. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, it was just a train wreck offensively, Gabe. Like, it's just the mistakes and the decision-making of Lagway. And the, like, I was just like,
yeah, but they're like this every 2 weeks, Cabin. 1 week they're good, then they're not. And it's like this.
But their defense is good. Their defense is good. Real good.
You just can ball out, but the offense can't because Napier has not allowed an OC to call plays. Napier is a terrible game manager. He's almost Mario Cristobal light when it comes to those tight games. He just can't win those close matchups. Guys, look at his record in the SEC.
He's going to get fired. Yeah, what is
he will get fired. But Strickland got himself an extension because of Florida winning the Natty with basketball, because he would have been out the door with Napier had it not been the case to be. So I think for Strickland, his next hire has to be the right one, because this will be his 4th hire, I believe, after Mullen, and it'll be Napier. So it'll be his 3rd hire that he'll have in the last 6 years. Can't swing and miss on the next hire for this gear organization.
I'd steal a guy from New Mexico.
Yeah, he's good, coach.
But I'm kidding. That's a little bit too big for him. But the guy from New Mexico, I would be poaching him quickly if I was another school. Hell, UCLA. I was thinking about that as they were beating UCLA. And CFL football. We'll wrap it up. CFL football. Man, the CFL, this is getting really interesting down the stretch, guys, isn't it? This is actually the most competitive CFL season in recent memory, like late in the year like this, that every game actually counts, like everywhere, like every team, like, you know what I mean? Teams that, you know, it's, I guess, you know, okay, in the West, whatever, Saskatchewan's got 10 wins and whatnot, but they're trying to get the top seed. Calgary are 2 games behind them. But as far as the play-in and playoffs and teams trying to get in, the BC Lions are 6-7. Winnipeg are 6-7. Edmonton are 5-8 right now. Montreal are 6-7. Toronto are suddenly up to 5 wins right now. We can almost get rid of Ottawa. right now with four wins. It's not going to happen
yet.
For them.
Not yet.
Not yet.
They got Montreal twice in the same week.
I'll say it. I'll stand. Ottawa are not making the playoffs. I'll go on.
Hey, Morenci, let's give ourselves the old Barry Horowitz. Winston October and November. What a win. That was amazing. They say.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I took the Alouettes plus the points.
Yeah.
And it was a leap of faith. And you guys know, Mo's in Montreal, and I know the Alouettes inside out for years. They always beat the Riders in Saskatchewan. Yep. Like, bad things happen to the Riders, Mo, when they play the Alouettes at home. They just do.
Since that Grey Cup botch, right, the 12th and the 13th man, they've never recovered mentally against the Alouettes since that moment in 2009.
It's bizarro world.
It really is.
give Bethel, hey, listen, man, better late than never. Because let's be real, McLeod Bethel Thompson's been a big-ass bust. He makes a lot of money to be a backup. He's not a big team guy. You know what I mean? It's not like he's you know, if you're going to be there, you got to play well when you play. And he didn't, but he finally did, and better late than never, actually. So, and listen, the Alouettes are so much healthier than they were just like elsewhere right now. So they're right back in the mix right now as well. So we got a fun, it's going to be a fun stretch drive in the CFL. Friday Night Football, Montreal Alouettes and the Toronto Argonauts. Argonauts are 1.5-point favorites in this game. The total is 53.5. Man, BC. One thing with BC, if BC can get into the playoffs, they could be dangerous. Because you know they can score, right?
Like, which side of the bracket, though, east or west?
Well, they're going to be on east, I think. They could beat Montreal. They could beat Montreal on the road.
I think they've won.
BC are a good road team, guys.
Mm-hmm. Right,
and these West Coast teams are good on the East Coast suddenly. And, all
and BC,
yeah, it's crazy.
If BC were to play Montreal in the playoffs here, I think they've won 5 out of the last 6 in Montreal. So they're not.
Oh, it's the one team they owed Montreal. Over
yeah, they're not afraid to come out to the East Coast to win if it ends up being BC Montreal.
They could. I'm just saying they're the type. You know, you only need to win 2 games to get to the cup, and their offense is good. You know what I mean? Like, Nate Rourke is good, and, you know, you get into a 30-30 type game with them. That's like, BC don't mind that. Like, you know, they could they got to figure out a way to beat Calgary this week to really get it going, though. Thing with BC is they beat bad teams, they lose to good teams. That's what they do. That's right. Why they're like a 500 team. You know what I mean? Like, if they're better than you, they'll beat you. If they're not, if you can run the ball, you'll beat BC, right? And I've said that for years. But a lot of teams in the CFL don't run the ball. The teams that do beat them, Winnipeg and Saskatchewan. So point spreads, Montreal are a +1.5 at Toronto. I think Chad Kelly could probably play in this game. 53.5. They're going to throw Arbuckle under the bus. Stampeders are -4.5 against the BC Lions on Friday night. That'll be a fun game. Total 54.5. Saturday, Winnipeg at Ottawa. Ottawa 1.5-point favorites because Chris Trevler sucks. Total 51. And the Edmonton Elks are 5.5-point road dogs against Hamilton. What a wild game that one was, guys, that Toronto and Edmonton game.
Ryan Dinwiddie over there, Mr. Enforcer.
Man, that was some crazy stuff.
The CFL's been awesome this year for people.
It's
like,
been great.
Yeah, it's just like people that are just – football is beautiful. But, like, when has – like, take a look at week to
the
week
Edmonton
to week.
The Edmonton-Toronto game was more entertaining than the college games
were. For time.
The Georgia game was the only one that was really good.
Yeah, okay. So for all you guys out there, you watch that Vikings-Falcons game or the Toronto-Edmonton game. If you said the NFL game's better, you don't know what you're doing. It's a bottom line. The CFL's been amazing.
No, I had a ton of Americans. I was talking about on Saturday. Right. Because during the game on X, on Twitter, I was getting tweets from a lot of Americans watching the Argo game and betting it in-game. And we all said, we're like, yeah, this is just better than most of the college games. Like, the Georgia-Tennessee game got good. That was the only one. And the NFL, same thing. There were a few crazy – yesterday was better in the NFL, actually, with the crazy endings. So the NFL did have a good week. Week one was pretty boring for the most part, but – Mo, good to catch up with you.
Always,
enjoy
guys.
The games this week. We'll see Cam on the grid, on the Sports Grid Television Network later in the week. Cam, how'd your golf do?
Gabe, it's amazing. I actually won with Alex Noren in a playoff at 40-1. But what else happened, pal? Ooh, my Ben Griffin pick leading the whole way till Scotty Scheffler takes over in the final two holes. Head situation. This guy is better than – Dude, I've never seen anything like it. Like, they're talking, they're going through the Tiger Woods numbers. Scheffler. Gabe, the guy's winning at 2-1 consistently, coming back from the sky. Like, he is on a different level, bro. This is amazing.
Yeah, no. You know, Tiger Woods has all those, you know, more wins, obviously, overall. But it's true. I saw the, what's the guy's name? DeChambeau. DeChambly did like
Randall Chambly? Yeah, Golf Channel. Yeah.
He did like a side by side piece of Tiger Woods in his most dominant run type of his career. And it's the same as Scheffler.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like, you know, how long can Scheffler keep this up for is the question. But Scheffler is playing at a level that basically only Tiger has played at before. Almost unbeatable right now. But we'll have a lot of time for golf in the future. We'll see everybody on Monday Night Football tonight. We'll be on for the second half of the Tampa and Houston game. And we'll be on for the first half of the Raiders and Chargers game. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.